Is it just me, or does it feel like the marketing playbook is always changing? I mean, who can keep up with all of this? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is the all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's also so much more. This report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. You'll get all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning to next year. Don't get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/stateofmarketing to get your free copy of the report. This is the Ops Authority Podcast, where my mission is to break down the backside of your business so you can take the right actions to grow and scale. Hey, I'm Natalie Gingrich, a small business operations expert, and I'm going to give you a front row seat to real solutions that will help you reach the vision that you have for your business, all while equipping you to put out those inevitable pesky fires and those fears that pop up. Listen in for strategies to grow your team, craft the systems and processes that you need for your business, and establish business foundations that you may have skipped over. I know you're ready to do really big things, so let's do it together. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Ops Authority Podcast. Today, we're recording episode 247, and we have a special guest with us. We love to bring our former students and people from our community, really, that are still inside of our community and are doing big things, good things, new things as operators in their own careers. And so today, we have got a very, very special guest, Kara Barnes. I will say a very special guest for anyone who has been through our program, who enjoys getting on here and sharing their story, because while every single student is special, the ones who take the time to do this really are just there. It's helpful for me to be able to, you know, communicate their perspectives, their questions, their results and successes, of course, but also for you as the listener to be able to hear it from someone else besides me, because I've been here for 247 episodes. You guys have a lot to hear, a lot to listen from me, but I am just so grateful, Kara, that you have said yes to joining us today. And more importantly, just the interesting way that you have continued to build upon your ops experience. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Oh my gosh, it's like I'm fangirling a little bit right now.
That is, it's sweet and it's cute, but I feel equally excited to be here with you. Let me share a little bit about Kara's bio, and then we'll just have an organic conversation moving forward about your experience as an operator, even before, because you've been an operator for a long time, far before you came into the certification, what the certification felt like for you, and then kind of where Kara is today. And so Kara Barnes has played a pivotal role in helping professional speakers elevate their businesses from 6 to 7 figures by expertly optimizing their day-to-day operations. She serves as their trusted second-in-command, ensuring seamless execution of their visionary strategies. Now, what do I love about that? I love how specific it is. We could probably, you and I could record another episode on that, because I'm sure a lot of us have served clients, any client that comes through the door, and we do that. I have a tagline, or not necessarily, it's not a good tagline, but a saying, desperate attracts desperate. And I know myself and you, Kara, as well, have probably said yes when we were in desperate situations and circumstances to clients that really weren't a good fit. And when I read this bio, it's like a full round of applause, because I know when you get specific down to helping professional speakers take their businesses specifically from 6 to 7 figures, that you've done a lot of work. You've got a lot of experience of right fit and wrong fit clients to be able to get you to this place. And so I think it's a really cool full circle moment. I hope you see that reflection as well, because like where I started, we've all said yes to wrong. So yeah, we agree.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. All I can really say is I learned from the best, honestly. Really, that's a format I took from you that I've been continuing to refine. But yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember us getting to, I may be skipping ahead a little bit, but I remember us kind of co-working to get to this place and me witnessing you from afar, really just like where your passions were. And, you know, a former client that you had worked with like sparked you and you were like, I love doing this work with these people. And it was like that, you know, itch got scratched and you were like, hey, let's explore this a little bit more. And now I feel like you own the space. And I think that when our directors of any business, but the ones I care about are directors of operations. But when you can get really specific like this, your marketing, your targeting, your conversations just become so much more focused. And then as an amazing byproduct, you know what, how, and when you like to deliver with a specific group. So all of the communication just becomes so much more natural. But anyway, I skipped way far ahead. Kara, I'd love to open up our conversation and have our listeners hear about your journey. Like, how did you know that you were an operator? And I'm sure that this goes far back in your journey, just like it does for mine and probably the person listening. So what got you to this point?
Yeah, so I don't think I could have this conversation with you without bringing up EOS and Visionary Integrator Language, because before I knew about DOO and got introduced to your world and the language of operator, I considered myself an integrator. So in EOS, there are two leadership roles at the top of every company, and most EOS companies are on the small to medium size business. So in those companies, there's a visionary that's typically the CEO and an integrator that's typically more of a COO, as we know traditionally. And the integrator is responsible for executing the vision. So that's language that I had learned very early in my career, which I think feels like a huge advantage. I talk to folks who are much further along in their career and are just sort of being introduced to that language. And I see light bulbs going off. I'm sure you see that all the time too, that I feel very fortunate that before I was even out of college, I had read books about partnership of visionary integrator and could already sort of identify being drawn in the direction of that integrator. And if you're not familiar with that, I'll say for the listeners that there's a book called Rocket Fuel that speaks to that specific language. And there's a lot of people in that EOS world who will resonate with that language if that's part of who you want to work with. And it might be of interest to a lot of operators. But
yeah, and I think it's permeated our entire space. You know, Kara, the language that I'm using today that I've been using for the last 8-10 years really did not, it was not part of my vernacular whenever I was in corporate. And it was through leaving corporate and kind of exploring like who I wanted to be in this next version of myself that I picked up that book. Somebody had recommended it somewhere, somehow. I read that book and I felt totally seen. I was like, this is exactly it. And so, you know, yes, I completely co-sign on that book and the identification of visionary as well as integrator. And we see a lot of that, you know, in our space today. And I think, you know, whether you call, I mean, the terminology can be different from place to place, but the function and the practice, the division, the partnership, I can say division and partnership together there is, it makes a lot of sense. It truly, to me, it just like for, you know, them, it's the way that businesses actually successfully scale.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'll say even up until last week, I think I'm constantly getting a better understanding of how people are using these terms and what it, you know, how they're perceived by other people. And someone shared with me the other day that they think of OBMs as more project management. They think of DOOs as project management plus strategy. And I'd never heard that. And I thought that's really interesting. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people who think of it that way and a whole bunch of people who think about it differently. So you have to, you know, still tease out what people are looking for. But I'll say that I was drawn to that integrator role a long time ago. And then I think what has been powerful over time has been realizing that I don't have to do that in anyone's space. I don't have to do those skill sets in marketing. I don't have to do those skill sets in, you know, like I don't have to work in a small business and be spread across 5 different roles. I can really sort of own my power and say, this is my zone of genius. I'm going to design my work to let myself live right here where I love to do the work instead of getting so involved where I'm then trying to be, you know, the marketing genius as well as the operating genius and really separating out those skill sets and giving myself permission to go narrow. That's, we'll get to it, I'm sure, but that's largely the transformation that I got from DOO.
I love it. And to get to that point, you have to do the work. You have to take the actions. You have to be creative. You have to try things. And a lot of people get frustrated and frankly, they give up on their future, their next best self, because trying things on and not having a predictable outcome, it's uncomfortable. It's still, I mean, I don't think it'll ever get comfortable for me. You know, there are some personalities, probably those visionary type of personalities, who like trying things on for size. And for us, what I find in the operational community is it's overwhelming and we're not super risk takers. But what I think you and I have developed over time and what I hope is inspiring all of the listeners here is the more you try whatever on, new offers, new audiences, new, you know, new deliverables, new processes, the more you try those on, the easier it gets. It's really more of a mindset thing than a physical delivery, but it's like your mind kind of slowly gets rewired to accept that the risk really isn't that risky. It's like, if anything goes wrong, this is one client. I can professionally exit or professionally have good, honest conversations to uplevel myself in a company. Like, I've done all of those things. It's not like we always have to run for the hills because the entire rug is going to be pulled out from underneath us. But the flexing of the muscle and trusting yourself to make those changes has resulted in you getting to a place where you're really fulfilled with who you're working with, how you're serving them, and how much you're doing that.
Yeah, I think I'll go vulnerable here for a second that I know that I'm a perfectionist. I know that I really struggled. It's like someone told me once that I was used to living on an achievement diet and that I needed to figure out something else to sustain me. And, you know, so a lot of the unlearning that we do, I think through our, like, I don't know, for me, it was 25 to I'm 30 now. Like, this has been a really intense unlearning chapter of my life where I'm having to let go of my perfectionist tendencies in order to try new things, in order to be more honest about, like, okay, yeah, this is good enough, but no, I don't actually want to be doing part of like these parts of my jobs. And I can be empowered to design it more intentionally. And I think for a lot of people that journey happens from like leaving corporate or leaving a secure, you know, employment job, that sort of thing. And that is learning that I'm still constantly doing, that these are all, they should be phases of life. They should be chapters of life. And I think for those of us who are achievement oriented and perfectionists and details, and we want to always hit 100% every time and never let anyone down, I think it is so hard to not see change as failure sometimes in the workplace, right? Like leaving a client or leaving a job where it feels like we're disappointing people, when really we're probably honoring ourselves more with the next chapter, sort of going on from that. And it's not a hard thing in concept, but I think it can be very painful and like deep wounds for me in reality when it actually plays out. Because small business especially is so personal and we're working with people that become friends. And so, I could talk about this forever.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, it's the whole idea of like just betting on yourself, right? Like when I left corporate, I left a really nice, you know, I would call it a pretty easy situation, very stressful, but pretty easy. Like I was going to stay employed there for a really long time. And so leaving and betting on myself and not knowing, I mean, I left with the not knowing, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, I'm very driven like you. Like I knew I wasn't going to sit at home and eat bonbons and, you know, simply, you know, drive my kids from one practice to it. I knew I was going to do that and a whole lot more. Like I was not going to just escape that. But the achiever in us has to always trust that the next step, even if it's hard, is going to give you a lot of information in what to do for the next step. And so we will constantly be doing that. So the trusting, the wounds, I hear all of that. But if I never would have done, you know, I think now it's easy to for all of us to say, okay, well, if I wouldn't have made that one change 5 years ago, I wouldn't be here living my best life. I think in corporate, if I would have continued to support, you know, senior executives, I was really fulfilled. I knew I was in my groove. I knew I was killing the game. Like I knew that I was good at it, but I was serving one. And now having made this change and transition, I get to serve literally thousands of people. And I couldn't have done that. So, you know, there's a lot to say about both. And honestly, I'm very happy with both. But and now I can look back and say, man, if I wouldn't have left, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. And so we can do that forever.
I'm having a conversation with someone right now who is getting ready to leave a job that she's been at for 12 years. And she's an excellent operator. She's, you know, she got in touch with me because she heard that I was using fractional leader language, fractional COO language. And she's really excited about that and wants to understand, how do I do that? And we got on a call and she said, okay, so this transition's going to be 3 years or so from now. And then she kept talking and I was like, oh my gosh, like what an operator to be thinking ahead 3 years. I'm like, this is brilliant. But you can tell this is going to be such a hard shift for her, away from what she thinks of, you know, like her secure W-2 life that she's known for so long, which is fair and scary. But I'll say, at the risk of making this sound like a commercial for DOO, I'm a big fan. And that whole conversation with her ended up being about how the DOO certification for me was the thing that made the big, scary change manageable. And then I was supported all the way through it. And I think my fear going into the program, or sort of the hesitations I had, is that I so didn't want to do a fluffy program that was not actually going to be real, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't want all theory. I don't want all, I don't know, things specific to one platform or whatever. Like, I want it to be something that's going to help me come away being able to say that I know how to talk business strategy. And I don't know if you remember, but I had a lot of concerns at the beginning that I wasn't, like, I had a lot of, well, I'll say this. One of my very lowest strengths on the StrengthsFinder assessment is learning, which is embarrassing. I don't like to talk about it. I know I'm sharing it on a podcast, but I really struggled to embrace the need to have support and to have community. I was like, well, what's the value in being surrounded by other people who do what I do? I don't know about that. So that I had a lot of reservations going into this. It's funny, the reason I did end up going into it is because I had two mentors who kept referencing a program that they were in, and they were in completely different parts of my life. And I was meeting with them both monthly. And then at some point I realized they were both in the DOO certification. They were in the same cohort. They knew each other, and it was hilarious. And so that was the only reason. Like, if that sort of, you know, the universe hadn't planted all those seeds for me, I'm not the kind of person to join trainings and programs. I don't enjoy this stuff, you know? And so I really struggled to get bought into it. But once I did, I realized this is the perfect amount of like grounding theory and then practical stuff that makes me feel empowered. And it took time for me to really let it settle in, like what that was going to look like in practice. But it helped me make all those mental shifts you're talking about, like a lot of confidence and clarity and supported. Like, it just felt like, instead of being a big, uncomfortable transition, it felt like a very natural path was laid out in front of me. Like, here are all the things you need to think about and consider to go make sure you're really happy with the end result. And I am. It was exactly what I needed.
It's a new month, and you know what that means. It's time for me to share another podcast from the HubSpot Podcast Network that I am going to be dedicated to tuning into this month. And this month is Hustle and Flowchart. I just saw flowchart in the title and I was like, ooh, yes, I need to know more. This podcast, Joe talks about how to build a business so it gives you freedom and fuel for your life. And I think all of us need a lot of that right now. He also discusses systems and mindset tweaks, reframes, and strategies for entrepreneurs. Something I know that my listeners will really appreciate is that Joe has not created this podcast for someone who's looking to build a billion-dollar business. This podcast is for people like you and I, people who are looking to build systems that work for us and also to make this entrepreneurial journey way more fun and at the same time still bring in more money. So why don't you listen along with me this month, Hustle and Flowchart. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I do remember your apprehension as you came in. And then I also remember how you just took a lot of action, like everything, every assignment, which is very typical for operators. It's like, here's your assignment, go do it. We call those assignments case studies, but you did them and you asked such good questions because you fully processed them. And, you know, the whole, when you were talking, Kara, I think of just like the achieverness, and I know that's not a word, but it is right now. Mm-hmm. Just the wanting to achieve equals, you know, wanting to learn. And sometimes we want to learn in isolation because, I mean, I feel like this a lot of times, and I'm sure I'm not alone, but it's like, I'd rather just do it by myself. Right. Like, and so we do, high level operators a lot of times will isolate. It takes a lot of practice to leverage and to delegate that's probably the hardest skill that I have had to develop over time, especially in corporate, because I just didn't have enough capacity for the amount of work that was coming in. And it's usually that scenario that finally breaks us and allows other people to come in and help. But when you were talking, that's what popped in my head with just, we're hardworking, we are perfectionist. And whether you're proud or not proud of that, I always joke with people in our onboarding. I always say, I have like this one slide that's like about, like truly about me, like whatever you see is fine. And you're not going to get something different here, but let me go like one step lower than that. I have two things. If I'm stressed, I'm kind of quiet. And the other thing that I always tell people, it's vulnerable, but it is so true, is that I am happy not being a recovering perfectionist. I am actively in perfectionism, and it's just part of my being. I've tried to like hide it and move it and pretend it isn't there. And it's just who I am. And so anyway, as a person who has all of those qualities, it's kind of a theme in my whole, I can think all the way back to like grade school projects, like group projects where it's like, you guys, y'all can do what you want. I'm going to either take the bulk of the work or the work that shows or the work that's graded the most. And I'm going to do that. You guys can do the, and you know, sometimes it's like, are you trying to be a martyr or whatever? It's just the way that we're like, that we're wired. And so I resonate with all of that too. So thank you so much for sharing.
We're the ones who are expected to have the answers, right? Like when somebody doesn't know, they come to me and I'm maybe Googling, maybe I'm like, well, I don't know. If you don't know, then we'll figure it out together. So I think when I'm used to being in that role, it's very hard for me to think about. So like early on when people would talk about the need for community, or that was like, you know, sort of framed as a perk of coming into a community like this, I was like, I probably won't use a community at all. Because I was thinking like, I'm used to being the one that has to get the answers. Like I'm not usually in a place where I'm going, oh, these are all the questions I have. I don't know about this or that. But what ends up happening is that when you're surrounded by people who think the way you do and have the same kind of pressure and approach to things and just natural inclinations, when they share their personal experience, it naturally opens up like, oh, there's other ways to think about that or other ways that I could be approaching this. It's not so much that I'm going, ah, I don't know enough. I don't know how to go about, like, that's not what it looked like. It ended up just being connecting and having more honest conversations about, here's what I'm experiencing, here's how I handled it. And then, oh my gosh, that triggers this and this for me. And in the future, maybe I'll try that. So I came to really, I mean, since going through the DO certification, I'm part of lots of groups of women who are in that space. And whether it's admin people who are, you know, working as VAs and helping them be more empowered, or people who are functioning as an integrator, second command, and figuring that out. That's a lot of, you know, I'm having those conversations all the time because I value them so much now. I get so much out of it.
Yes. I think one of the greatest transformations that people have, you know, everyone comes in wanting content and wanting to enhance their skills. And I love seeing this happen. And I can see it probably easier than the student can see it, but they come in and they want like templates and frameworks so that they can just kind of put those into play. Cause we're really good at checklists. We're really good at learning something and executing that. Like that's our jam. And so that's the expectation when our students come in. And by the end of the program, I feel like and this is just, it's almost just from the heart. There's nothing that, you know, there's no script for this. But one of the things that I want all of our students to do is to have the safety of the template or the framework or whatever it is that they are desiring. And there's a ton of those inside of the program. And over the 6-month period, you pull what you need and you start to trust yourself and say, hey, this is the way Natalie has this, but I'm going to adapt this. But when you come in, you're like, I'm doing it exactly like Natalie says it. And towards the end, all of a sudden, strategic mapping looks a little bit different. All of a sudden, hiring looks a little bit different than mine. And what I was seeing in the course space as I was kind of, you know, growing my own, you know, DOO business. And even when I was writing the curriculum for this, I was seeing a lot of courses. And this is very normal, but they were giving you a copy and paste system, which was if you come in and you follow exactly what I do, you're going to get the exact same result that I got. And I subscribed to that a whole lot, to the tune of several thousands of dollars of trainings. And then at the end of the training, I was like, oh, this doesn't really fit me. So I'm just going to throw it all away. And in business, this is kind of like a business lesson that I, you know, have evolved into. And now I love almost like subliminally sharing it with our students is that template is what you trust at first. And then you have to unravel from that. You build upon that other person's intellectual property to create yours. And that evolution is beautiful. And we kind of talked about, you mentioned this earlier, and maybe the listener wouldn't pick this up like I would, but we teach 5 core disciplines of operations inside of the certification. Those 5 areas are exactly how I was a director of operations. I promise you all that the DOO that I am and the DOO that Kara is or Sarah was from last week or anyone in our community, I have been so inspired by how free these women are coming in here, taking my foundation, building upon their previous experiences, because everyone's experience when they get here, this is not the first time they're learning about operations. They're building upon my framework, their history, and what they have been able to create at the end of this has blown my mind. I am so proud of everybody, because we all need something different at different times in our lives. We may need a different business model. We may have a really bad client who teaches us what we don't want to do anymore and the way we want to practice and leverage our skills. We may go through times where it's like, I've loved building a business, but I've got this fabulous opportunity to walk into a full-time opportunity. And that's what fits me right now in this season of life. And so I think that transformation is so cool. And so I'd love to talk about your after the DOO program, kind of, we felt your journey coming into the certification and even, you know, far before that. I love learning about the EOS influence and in college, like you're so lucky. And then, you know, coming to the DOO program and then, you know, let's talk now kind of what you've been able to do after that, because I know it doesn't look like what my DOO practice looked like.
Yeah. I love that you brought this up because I hated this at the beginning of the program. This is what I would complain about, that I would get my case study and be like, this is not enough information. Give me the step by step by step. I want to do it exactly like they're expecting. Give me an example. I was so frustrated. And now I think you designed the program with so much intention to push people who are that type of personality and used to doing that and craving that to be more proactive, to be like, okay, I got to roll up my sleeves, figure out how do I understand this? What is needed here? What matters about this? And what am I going to put together? And it was the perfect amount. You gave the perfect amount for me to not feel totally in the dark and to like feel the discomfort and stress of like, I kind of got to dig in and figure out what this means to me and how I would go about this.
Because in the real world, I understand, I get that. But in the real world, it's like, you know, we're teaching high level operators. This is not the first time they're doing operations. And so, you know, there's always going to be questions. And how is Kara going to deal with her leader who gave them half-baked ideas, or maybe they're micromanaging, like whatever the scenario can be. We're not ever going to have all of the answers. And it's going to be up to us to figure this out. We talk a lot kind of behind the scenes on emotional intelligence and having those skills. Like, how do we look for those? And how do we help our students to build those? Because it's the biggest muscle. You're totally qualified. You can do everyone who comes into the program has all of the skills to do this. Most of the time, they're looking for additional leadership so that they can step up and really claim their space so that they can earn more, work with who they want to work with, perform what they really enjoy doing. That's what they're looking for. But at the end of the day, where we have seen this with over 400 students who have come through, it's like, it's the emotional, it's when the going gets tough, how does Kara perform? And so the case studies are one tiny, tiny piece we've all managed projects that are like, we need so much more information before we can actually move forward. And so I love the vulnerability there, just kind of sharing the frustration piece, but you're right. Like, it's all intentional. It's really what it looks like to be an operator. And if, you know, your leaders are going to be expecting that kind of, you know, reasoning from you. And so why not start now?
And I mean, part of the reason that, like I said, I was frustrated at the beginning and I came to trust you in the process because you set it up with a lot of support. Like Gabby's my best friend. I don't know if I'm her best friend, but I adore Gabby. And I mean, she made this experience for me just so the right amount of support and love and hey, are you getting this done? Like, tough push. Here we go. It was perfect. So to answer your question earlier, I think I've taken a fair amount of what I learned in DOO and some of the ways that I had built things before and tried to figure out what was most impactful. What if I, when I've brought things into businesses and helped teams and helped speakers, what was the thing that had the greatest impact that continues to be the solution I come back to? Like, oh, here we go. We need that same system again, or this person would benefit so much from this. And as I've identified those things, I am building what I call my Backstage Ops Toolkit. So Backstage Ops is the name of my company, and it's titled Backstage Ops because I work with professional speakers and entertainers, and I want to work with folks who are on a stage creating environments and atmospheres for people to enjoy and learn and that sort of thing. So I designed my branding intentionally to mirror that backstage. And I don't know, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of the things I've built, and it does feel like I could show you exactly through that system, like through the different tools that I've got laid out now, what is infused from DOO and what's infused from my experience with this client or what came from this book that I read, right? And I can, it's a very neat culmination of the things that I've learned. And I'm doing my best to package it up and bring my consulting team, which is largely graduated DOOs, I'm having them learn those things and say, okay, well, you know, if I'm in Kara shoes, this is how Kara would do it. But then my hope is that I have enough, I hope I have enough generosity of heart and trust that I can be like you, Natalie, and be like, okay, here's some things. Now go shine. Now go do your flavor of this and go be great in these businesses. Because I hear you talk about this, like it's like your attitude of you want people to take what you've learned and go put their own spin on it. Not everybody in business thinks that way. You are like, that's a very sort of generous, empowering mission that you have that I try to emulate. And I'm big on like, yeah, take it, duplicate that document, do whatever you want to it. You're going to put your own spin on it. I don't have to be protective, right? And I try to find that balance of like, soon I will have things that are a little bit more my intellectual property, and I'll be more particular about what that looks like to find that balance. But I would rather lean on the side of generosity and supporting other people to say, okay, well, here's one way you could solve that problem. One of 100 ways you could solve that problem. I'm going to give you something to think about and then go have at it. So I'm really enjoying creating that IP for myself based on my experience. And it gives more clarity, like back to what you started with, gives more clarity to my customers about what to expect so they can have a consistent experience no matter who on my team they're talking to and touching. We're all aligned with philosophy. And that's also been a very fun process to see, like in addition to the tools and templates and the specific, you know, strategies and things that we're bringing into businesses, I also noticed there's a lot of philosophical stuff that I think for me shows me that I have some visionary in me, or maybe increasingly so as I get older, that like philosophically, I think that the best second commands are cheerleaders, right? First and foremost, before we are patrollers and people who slap the hand and say, nope, we're not going to do that. Like we need to cheerlead first. Otherwise, we're not really going to meet the goal.
Yeah.
Or it might not be sustainable. So
that opened up something for me. That's why I focus so much on partnership, because when I think about the clients that I love, that I was like, I mean, I love them as humans, but I love their business more than I loved my own business. Like I think we can get so deep in that. It was very easy for me because I love that second in command. You know, I love that.
Yeah.
And the partnership for me, it was like, you can have all the skills in the world, but the skills will be trumped by a fractured or broken relationship or partnership. And then also in my own experience, when they wanted like the body of me, and they wanted me to like manage the people, to like keep other people out of their hair, when they wouldn't trust my strategy or they didn't want to listen to my strategy, like that was the hard no. And so over time, I got better and better about trying to filter those people out. I really wanted a partnership, because the cheerleader thing that you said, that's exactly where I come from. It's the best relationships I had, and the places where I was able to make the greatest amount of change and difference in a business were when we truly were connected. And we don't always agree. Like it's not that, but I was free to share and they were free to decline or accept. And it was a give, and it is awesome. That's what we've been able to build in this company. And that, Kara, is what makes it easy for me to have a lot of grace. But I have to also be transparent and say that I was just talking to Gabby over Voxer the other day, and we were talking about an upcoming launch that we have. And she asked a question, and before she could even give me a response, I went to her this is not normal, but it still happens. Like that still comes up in me where I'd come back and I was like, okay, we could do it this way. And I explained the way, or we could do it this way. And I explained this like sequence that was going on in my head. And then at the end of the boxer, I was like, you know what? Honestly, delete this and do it however you want to do it. Because really, we both know the outcome that we want. And the way you do it should be the way that you feel convicted in. So, you know, that's, I catch myself in those times. And it wasn't even like anything, like we were dreaming, but in the process of me being an operator, right? Yes, I happen to be the leader of this company, but I'm a default operator. That is who I am. But I find myself operating, you know, like, hey, Gabby, let's do it this way, just as if, you know, she were my leader. So,
and it's a, I mean, it's a balance. I think I will say that like the partnership with a visionary and sort of the second command, like relational first, right? Like the first conversation that my team has with their clients when they get paired is designing the alliance. And before we talk about a single project or anything that we're trying to do in the business, talking through what does it look like when you're frustrated? What do you do when you, you know, like, what does it look like when you get stressed out? When do you shut down? How do you want me to support you? Like going through, you know, those conversations, like, and really it's not even about the answers to those conversations. It's setting the precedent that you will have conversations like that to say, hey, this isn't really working for me. Can we just check in? And it's not personal. I want to be able to support you. So let's be like able to have that level of vulnerable conversation. And then I think beyond the strong relationship between the second command and the leader, I think it's figuring out how to use operations as much as possible, like lean on that to fix not just the day-to-day effectiveness and efficiency, but the people parts of it, right? So I'm often talking about, because what you're describing is not just you and the leader, it's like you and every team member ever. Like, yes. How do we have good communication? How do we have, you know, collaboration? So I'm always talking about, you know, if we're not happy with this person, is it that the role isn't defined? Is it that they, you know, like there's so many things around them. Are we setting them up for success and clarity? And can we point to a Google sheet that says, here's what the role is, here's what's expected? And instead of saying, you're not doing this good enough, we're able to point to a document and say, here's what's expected. What do you need to be supported? Or do you still want this role if we further define it? And that it takes a lot of the charge and the people stuff out of it. And I think that's the superpower of operators. I'm kind of going off on my own little soapbox here. Those are the kinds of things that I got a lot of clarity about when I went through the program. I was thinking, what kind of leader do I want to be? What's most important to me when I come into businesses and what matters about what I bring to the table?
That's the name of the game for us personally, like whether it's professional or personal, like as a Kara human, you know, it's like, that's the place we want to get to. So tell me, like, you're kind of alluding to what the business, what your backstage ops looks like today. Give us a just lay it out there for us. Is it an agency?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited to talk to you about TOO that I just want to stay there forever, but I will my business today. So we're an agency model. I'll say when I first left TOO, I was doing retainer and was thinking I wanted to work with just a few clients at a time and found that as I was taking what I had learned in DOO and was figuring out how I wanted to do it, I was already sort of packaging it up in such a way that I wanted to share and mentor that with other people. So I remember Gabby lots of times checking in and poking at me like, hey, is the agency model really the thing? Like, I see profit margins are down. Like, what's this going to look like? And it's a lot of work to get there. And she's right. And it's still, I mean, it's going to take me a few years to really feel like we're where I want to be with the agency model. It's like, I think of the agency model as kind of the long game. It's a lot to get set up. But I decided to do that shift from a few retainer clients that was just me by myself to having a consulting team of DOO type folks beneath me that were going into businesses sort of on my behalf. I decided to do that and package up enough support for them to be able to go off on their own. Like I'm describing that balance of setting them up and then saying, okay, you're a strong, competent leader. And that's why you're on my team. Go do a great job in that business. Decided to build that model because I love mentoring, because I love taking what I've learned and having conversations about like, okay, this team member seems really checked out. They're not going into a sauna. How do we, you know, is it about the tool? Is it about dynamics? Are they feeling nervous they're going to lose their job because you're here and it's not clear what you're doing here? So I love having those conversations, supporting my team to make sure that they feel. I have worked in agencies where I didn't feel supported and I started to feel resentful that I was doing work for someone else. And that I thought, why didn't I just go get my own clients if I was just going to be over here by myself anyway? Hated that experience, that feeling. It's terrible. So I felt a lot of conviction that if I was going to do an agency model, there was going to be a lot of investment in the people in my agency. And I didn't know what to expect when we started recruiting for the consulting team. But I found some really excellent people who are excited to be able to show up, focus on the work, do the thing. And they like not having to build their own personal brand. They're excited to be part of a team. And they are pretty much every time I talk to them, they make a comment about how grateful they are to have a sounding board, to have someone there to support them and someone on the outside of the business who's not so directly involved. So one of the things I'll do right now is offer quarterly facilitations. So when somebody comes in and works with our business, maybe I'll just walk through the whole process. We start with a 2-week introduction that includes my version of strategic mapping. So we call it our Ops Kickstart series. And I do mine as a 2-day retreat. The first day is kind of the full client download. The second day is me coming to them with deliverables. It's largely infused with what I learned in strategic map, but I have changed the format. I do, you know, like a dashboard along with it. I have my own kind of flavor, like all of us, like you've said. But after that 2 weeks, I'm able to then give them a recommendation that based on your resources, your business size, and your needs, I think you are ready to have someone come in as a business manager, or you just need a virtual assistant, or you actually need a graphic designer, right? I can give them confident recommendations based on what I'm seeing, and they also get great value from that, whether they keep working with me or not. Yep. If there's someone who needs a business manager of some kind or second command of some kind, then I will come to them with what we call our second command crystallization. And that's essentially a 6-month to 12-month program that we take them through where we're rolling out our Backstage Ops toolkit and bringing in specific tools and templates that are relevant based on what they have going on. They can get used to what it feels like to have a partner in their business and not just somebody project managing even, but having a strategic co-creator in their business. So the team gets used to reporting to someone else. The idea is that you can build that out in your business without being attached to that person. We are there for a short term to transform your business, to get the infrastructure in place and to get that second command role in place. And then we'll help you find your long-term fit for your second command. And I was excited about designing a more short-term relationship with my clients so that they could go on and find someone for the long term to fill that role. Because I think that's where I saw business owners struggling is they're used to functioning as a solopreneur. They're used to just sort of, you know, giving directions here and there. They aren't used to having that strategic partner functioning as a leadership team. So it's fun for us to come in and help them learn that and figure out what they actually want from that person before they go bring in someone and get really invested in one person without having enough clarity about what they actually need from that person. So that's kind of what it looks like to work with us. And then in terms of my touch points, I get to come in on a quarterly basis and do a refresh of their goals for the quarter. And I'm able to sit down with the leader and their second command, and then they can both participate as just folks in a leadership retreat. And I can take them through that, like an abbreviated strategic mapping process. And then we've got our new scope for the next quarter and they're off and running.
Nice. Kara, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I love it. I felt a little bit I think we all do. I felt a little bit like I was making things up as I went but I was doing it based on the needs I was seeing. And then I kept getting affirmation from speakers and people I would talk to saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know something like this existed. This is exactly what I need. So it's been...
Yes. You need to go have a booth at one of these speaker conventions. That's what Kara needs to do.
I mean, so I'll tell you, to be honest, I go to all the speaker events and I go as a participant and a fellow participant. And I like to focus on the relationship and really get a sense of what they have going on, because this is so vulnerable and it's also hard to describe it's a lot for somebody who's not thinking operationally about their business yet. But yeah.
But just telling, I mean, maybe you'll be on the stage with them and explaining the kind of the process and the partnership that could exist. You never.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never really thought strategic mapping would be a thing of its own before I was actually on stage teaching it. It was the affirmation of the attendees that were like, and some were very small groups and some were, you know, several hundred people. But it took doing that before I ever looked at this like something that I would want to, you know, pull together. I had no idea it was intellectual property. I would have never said that. So you never know, Kara.
Totally. No, you're right. And I did actually have my first speaking engagement, first time ever last week. And it was a small breakout session, but I did it for the sake of being able to understand what they go through and, you know, good experience to be able to mirror my clients. But to be honest with you, I got a lot of information that I liked being behind the scenes and even doing a podcast interview like this. I'm here because I love you and I love Ops Authority and I'm a big fan, but I'm going to be figuring out how to be a visionary without being in the spotlight for at least a chapter here. And
yeah,
I think that's part of what we're talking about, like just being honest about what am I enjoying? What's giving me energy? It's constant learning.
But, right. Yeah. Our community at large, we enjoy, we thrive in being behind the scenes. And so the idea of, you know, I always talk about relationship marketing, kind of like what you're talking about, going to an event and, you know, not having a big fancy booth and not being the big paid speaker, but being someone in the crowd that's just getting to connect, asking people to go to lunch, having conversations. Like that is how I built my business. It certainly wasn't in any other like big fame way. I mean, it was very organic and it felt so good. And, you know, we break it down into like conversions and sales and how many clients you have and how much money you make. Really, we talked about relationship first, kind of the last part of this podcast, but that's how you do it. And so if you are going into partnerships already feeling like a partner before they've ever given you a dollar, you're going to live in that business a lot longer and also be enjoying that environment. I've definitely been in environments where I'm like, man, how long do I have to do this? Right. And it's when that relationship doesn't exist. So relationship marketing, another plug, another good example, Kara, not just from me, but from someone else who is out there doing it that way. So
yeah,
Miss Kara, I am so grateful for our time today. I thank you for being here and I wish you just loads and loads and loads of success. I love that you're kind of owning this market. I mean, I could list off the, you know, all of the great things that you have done that I've been able to witness. And we haven't been, our own relationship is not even that deep. And so I know that in these years to come, you will continue to impress yourself. And earlier you said, I am so proud. Like you took a breath and you said, I am so proud of what I have built. And you should be. You should be. Building a business is hard, but curating a business that fits you, where you are, your life stage, and even being thoughtful to, I love mentoring. I love being in this environment. You could build an agency a lot of different ways, but to do it and to infuse your gift and your passion of operations along with the gift and passion of people. And, you know, there's always going to be learning opportunities and stretches and growth in front of you, but being conscious of all the things and just getting to write it your way. So good.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, Kara, I know that these listeners have probably enjoyed this as much as I have. And when they're sitting back listening, they're putting themselves in your shoes, just like you were when you were listening to the podcast before you joined us inside of the certification. For those of you guys who are inspired by this, I would love for you to check out Kara's business. And, you know, if you've got any referrals or opportunities for her, definitely feel free to send them over. Tell us where they can find you.
Yeah. So I would love for listeners to connect with me on LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn, Kara Barnes, Kara with a K. I really loved my experience with DOO. So if you're somebody who wants to pick someone's brain about their experience and how, you know, some of what I did beyond what I've shared today, you can actually schedule time with me directly at backstageops.com, OPS. And I love talking about this stuff. So please don't hesitate to reach out and get in touch. Happy to be a resource. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's so kind of you to offer your time. That's awesome. And another way you can learn more about the certification, go to directorofops.com and you'll find lots and lots of information. And of course, the application will also be there as well. Kara, thank you so much for sharing and for being you, for teaching me along the way. What people forget is I am learning and evolving alongside you guys, and I'm very grateful for this space and time that we get together. So thank you for being here, friend.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for investing just a little bit of time to listen to this episode of the Ops Authority Podcast. I am so grateful to be surrounded by real action takers like you who are invested in growing their business through operations. Will you add one more action to your to-do list today? Visit theopsauthoritypodcast.com, where you can join our community of business owners and other ops experts. You're going to hear from me in a week, but in the meantime, do big things on the backside of your business.